Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If you're hearing the broadcast at the top of the hour, 3 Central Time, it's the live broadcast, and we would love to share it with you. The toll-free number is 844-322-2742, and that's good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. Call now if you can. It is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Richard, you had a great program yesterday on talking about the eclipse and how so many Christians, and this is the startling thing, these are Christians who are looking at this event with fearful hearts,
yes.
Wondering what in the world is this going to mean, and many ministry leaders are pronouncing that this is God's impending judgment on America, a sign of what's coming on America for, you know, the moral decay that's been happening in this world and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, Christians, why are you the ones saying things like that?
Yeah.
I mean, I can see that from the world and, the fear out there in the world. But, man, we know Jesus. Man, God has already given us a sign. His name is Jesus.
Yes,
it was a sign of a babe born of a virgin, born in Bethlehem. All the things that were earmarked in the Old Testament that came true in Jesus. We've been given a sign, and now we have assurance. There's nothing for us to fear. And so we have that. And then these well-known Christian leaders are saying, my goodness, Christians, you need to get right with God. It's like, man, you are just undermining the work of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
If you're a believer, you don't need to get right with God. God has already made you right with him through the shed blood of Jesus. You have been justified freely by his grace. So I hope you listen to that. You don't have to get right with God. God has already made you right with him. Mm-hmm. So Christians, we need to have the courage to stand up and speak what is true and to call out these folks who are delivering this nonsense that really undermines the gospel of Jesus Christ,
yes.
His work in death, burial, and resurrection.
Yeah.
If his blood was not sufficient to take away my sins and then declare me righteous, then we are all in a heap of trouble.
Yeah.
We have to believe that Jesus blood was sufficient, that it did exactly what he wanted it to do. It satisfied God on our behalf. There's nothing that stands between God and man. We simply receive the offer of life. Once we've received the offer of life, we've are imputed righteousness. We've been given a new identity. We've been given a new heart that wants to trust, wants to depend, wants to lean upon the Lord. We're new creatures in Christ.
Yes.
So we need to stand firm in that grace. And so those who do stand firm in the grace of God can look at a solar eclipse and say, Lord, thank you for this gift of grace. Mm-hmm. This is just a marvel to recognize how you so designed the sun and the moon and the earth and how you made them the sizes that you did. You know, if you look at the diameter of the sun versus the diameter of the moon, divide those two, the number's 400. If you look at the distance between the earth and the sun and then the earth and the moon and you divide those, it's 400. So it's just an absolute perfect ratios for an event like this to happen.
Yeah.
Well, who made it that way? God did. Why? For our benefit. It's like he's up there saying, man, I want to show these folks something really cool. And yesterday, we got to see something really cool that was delivered to us by the very hand of God who sent Jesus on our behalf. So we should look at yesterday with amazement, with this sense of marvel and wonder, and just praise to God because the heavens declared his glory. Us, in response to that, should be declaring his glory as well from what we've experienced through faith in Jesus Christ. So yesterday was one of those gifts of grace for each and every one of us, and a great opportunity for us to be able to declare to the world the hope that is within us, the person and work of Jesus Christ.
Thank you for those thoughts, Bob. And friends, thank you for joining us. We would love for you to join us by phone at 844-322-2742. The U.S. and in Canada, that's toll-free, 844-322-2742. And friends, with your gift to Basic Gospel this month, you're going to receive our new video series called Your Living Hope. Bob and Richard have teamed up to produce a series that will help you to stand firmly in the grace of God and resist the intense pressures that come against us, that we're confronted by in this world, and as it tries to pressure and force us into its own patterns. To receive your copy of Your Living Hope, just go online to basicgospel.net and click donate, or you can phone your gift to 844-322-2742, that number available around the clock, 844-322-2742, or again, donate at basicgospel.net. Outside the U.S. and Canada, PayPal is your best opportunity to donate to the ministry that we call and know as Basic Gospel. Well, again, Bob Christopher is here, Richard Piper is here, I'm Bob Davis, and I'm glad you've joined us. And I would really love for you to join us right now. If you're hearing the broadcast in the first half of the 3 o'clock hour, give us a call, join the program, join the discussion, 844-322-2742. Well, Bob, yesterday we had a question toward the end of the broadcast from a listener named Kristen, and her subject was about church discipline and the issue of Paul, when Paul suggested that a gentleman be forced out of the church because he had his mother's wife. And Richard very eloquently addressed that question. But there is a follow-up question, a real-life issue from Kristen, and this is what she had to say. She says she had a disagreement with a friend about a Christian in the church that is having a sexual affair. He was approached by church leadership, but continued to have the affair, so he was kicked out of the church. She goes on to say, I just don't agree with kicking someone out of church. The church would be pretty empty if we kicked out all who sin. I thought love covered a multitude of sins and that we're to show people grace, encouragement, and love. Am I wrong? She points out that we're not to even eat with them. We all sin, right? Who am I to point out someone else's sin that it is greater than my own, and that their sin should remove them from the church, but a sin I have committed doesn't require me being kicked out. She says, this is what the lady sent to me. Paul said in 1 Corinthians that we're to judge those within the church and mourn those who have sinned. Help them repent. If they refuse, then they are to be rebuked. Unless the known sin is removed, then the other sins would rise up in the congregation. Paul points out that if there's a brother or known believer within the church that's a fornicator, a drunkard, an idolater, an extortioner, a reveler, that believers should not even eat or fellowship with them. What is your take on this?
Great question, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
And certainly in this world today, we're faced with those types of situations in life. So how do we deal with it? How do we handle those situations? Passage in 1 Corinthians 5, I think, is significant for us because it really sets a pattern. So there was the sexual immorality, and Paul said it's of such a kind that it's not even tolerated among pagans.
Yeah.
I mean, that's bad if it's not tolerated among pagans. I mean, they've drawn a line in the sand. Now, it's a pretty far distance away from the righteousness of God, but they've drawn a line in the sand, the pagans. And if you go past that, then you're really doing something bad. It's like Helen Gurley Brown, the editor of Cosmopolitan or one of those magazines, she said, you know, it's okay to cheat on your spouse, but if you cheat on your mistress, you've gone too far. So this is kind of this situation.
Yeah.
There was sexual immorality that was of a kind that was not even tolerated among the pagans. And what Paul was concerned about in this particular situation was not only the act, the sexual immorality, but the arrogance of the person committing the act and the arrogance that was starting to creep into the body of Christ. So, and I think that's the key. You know, we as soon as somebody commits a sin and they start saying, hey, this is all right to do, you know, we can all jump on this bandwagon because the grace of God frees us to do this, then here's somebody undermining the very work of Christ in the lives of people. Christ has set us free from that empty way of life, has redeemed us, has ransomed us from that empty way of life. He's come to live inside of us to give us a brand new way of life, a life lived by faith and expressed in love one toward another. So a life of sexual immorality is the opposite of love. You're not loving an individual, you're marginalizing that individual, you are objectifying that individual, you are treating them as less than a human, and you're putting your sexual gratification above that person. So you are putting yourself in a superior position and treating that person as an inferior, just somebody that can help you gain pleasure in life. Now, this guy was bragging about it, and that arrogance started to seep into the body at large. That was the problem.
Yes.
So Paul stepped in and said, something has to happen for the sake of the body, and win-win for the sake of this individual. But discipline takes place when it starts to affect the body. So when the Word of God says, don't even eat with people like that, that's for your protection. So if they're bragging and saying, hey, that's, we can do anything we want, and you start hearing that and you start believing it, then that person is making you vulnerable to the temptations of the world. Yep. And for your protection, you want to stay away from that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a good thing for you, and I think it speaks a pretty loud message to the person. Said, like, hey, guy, there's a better way. There's a better way of life. And I don't want you to take me down your path. I would rather you walk down my path, because I know there's blessings in this path. There's only pain and turmoil and struggle and guilt and shame down that path. So church discipline, I think leadership needs to assess the situation and see how a particular incident or a lifestyle begins to impact the body at large. Yeah. And once they can determine that and see what's really going on, then I think they can take appropriate action for the protection of the body.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what it's all about.
That's the way to seek reconciliation, is to use that form of godly discipline.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, Kristen, hope you got help through the answer that Richard gave yesterday and the answer that Bob gave today. And I think I think it was the same answer, the same bottom line.
Yes.
Well, it's the same Bible.
Same Bible. 844-322-2742. We have a call from Antoine in Los Angeles, and I think maybe we should go to that right now.
Antoine, you're on the line.
Hello, Antoine. Are you there?
Right here. Sorry about that.
You're on the air.
Hey, do you think that eclipse was like what happened when Jesus died, and they said it went dark? I'm thinking that could explain how that happened back then. You know, they probably didn't have all the science that like we have now, but that's the logical reason why that happened. He could have timed it, you know, perfectly so that when he died, you know, it happened right during that couple minute window.
Well, Antoine, certainly that could be an explanation, but I think the key, and that's what you're just saying there, is that God's hand was behind that. I mean, this was the most critical moment in human history, when God, who became flesh, took upon himself the sins of the world. He who knew no sin became sin. So that's a dark moment. And I think the heavens punctuated what was happening right then and there. There were earthquakes. The earth shook. I think that was God saying, pay attention to what's happening here. Again, it was for our benefit. He who knew no sin became sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So, yes, it did. You know, it could have happened that way.
It's
but
a
God,
nice picture, but it didn't happen that way. According to Luke 23:44, the darkness lasted for three full hours. Now, a full eclipse lasts for a few minutes. The run-up and all of that takes longer than that. But this was a unique thing that God did. Was it eclipse-like? I think so. It's a nice picture. It gives us something to think about as we consider what Jesus went through. But God was doing a bit more than just an eclipse there.
Got you. All right. Thanks a lot.
Hey, thanks, Antoine. Thanks for your question. We certainly appreciate it.
Yeah, good to hear from you. We love hearing from our listeners, and if you can't get to the phone while we're actually on the air live, well, you can give us a call at that same number, 844-322-2742, and record your question. We'll be glad to play it and answer it on a future edition of Basic Gospel pretty quickly, as a matter of fact. Again, 844-322-2742. And please remember, friends, that to keep the good news coming on Basic Gospel, we depend on your generosity and your prayers, God working through you, his people. And remember, too, that with your donation in the month of August, we're going to send you our new and very special DVD series called Your Living Hope as our gift to you. So just click donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to that same number, 844-322-2742, and we'll send you a copy of Your Living Hope. Again, that's 844-322-2742 or donate online at basicgospel.net. Well, guys, a question with a little bit of a different slant. It's a question that we've gotten, I guess, since time immemorial, but, well, here it is. This is the question from Tim. It says, hey, guys, love the ministry. I believe, as Romans 5 says, that because of Adam, we are all born spiritually dead, and that is why we need the resurrection life of Christ. In speaking with someone recently, they said that we are alive spiritually until we reach the age of accountability. They said that that is why babies die, or people born with or babies that die, or people who are born with mental disabilities go to heaven. Can you share your thoughts on this subject?
Well, there's no biblical support for that.
None.
And it just seems to make sense that, you know, an innocent baby, if they die, they're going to be in the presence of the Lord. So let's come up with a framework to make that a reality. And so I think that's an attempt to make that a reality. And I don't think we have to build that type of theological framework. I think we can just rest on the mercy of God. We know that he's merciful, and we know that there are passages in Scripture that talk about, you know, the streets of heaven will be filled with children, and I think a reference to that in Zechariah. We see Jesus saying, don't put something in between children coming to me. Don't hinder them from coming to me. So we see a love for children and God the Father.
Absolutely.
We see that, and we know that he's merciful, and so we can count on that mercy weighing in on those particular cases. And so I firmly believe that they're going to be in heaven, not because they were born spiritually alive until they reached the age of accountability, but simply because of the fact that God is merciful. And he's shown that mercy to us in the person of Christ. So we can answer that question based on the very character of God. And I think his character leads us to that point of saying, babies are going to be with him in heaven.
Yeah.
Without question.
And the nature of the question, again, shows how behavior-oriented we humans are. We like to think of babies as innocent. I've had a couple of babies. I've got grandbabies now. They're not innocent. They just aren't innocent. So they can't be spiritually alive. But take the behavior out of it and go to God's grace and mercy, and now we can talk.
Yes.
Now we can talk. There's a beautiful picture. I mean, God is willing to take a child who has not been brought to spiritual life and save them, because God knows I don't. I don't have to worry about behavior. I don't have to worry about, you know, parenting skills. I don't have to worry about any of the behavioral things. I can leave it in God's hands and let grace through faith do its work. And I think it does every time.
Yes, yes, indeed.
Yeah. Friends, remember that wherever you go and whatever you do, you can take us with you, Basic Gospel, that is, through the Basic Gospel app. You can listen to the live daily program. You can pose a question for us to answer on the air. You can also make your donation to Basic Gospel through the Basic Gospel app. And, of course, you know where to find it. question here from Lois. This is kind of a sticky situation for her. She says, I'm a Christian who works in a secular job. My issue is that I know that my boss is stealing from the company we work for. I witnessed her selling things without permission and pocketing the money many, many times. I really wish that I didn't know what she's doing. I feel like I should say something, but then I tell myself I am not the moral police. I pray that God will sort it out without me having to say anything, but I feel like I am condoning it because I'm not saying anything. I look forward to hearing your thoughts, gentlemen. Thank you. That's from Lois, who wrote to us.
I think God might be asking her to be the police at this point. Walk by faith. You see something going on? Deal with it.
Yeah.
That's the best way.
Now, the thing is, it's scary to do that.
Yes.
It's scary to confront a superior because your job is kind of in their hands, so she could just wash this under the table by letting you go. So that's a real risk.
Yes.
But I think if you're interested in that person, and I think that's the key, are you interested in that person as your boss, then I would maybe have lunch with her or set up a time when you can speak with her just face-to-face and say, I've seen you do this. And if there's a problem going on, if there's a concern, how can I help? How can I be involved with you through this situation?
Yes.
And I think that's a very, very appropriate thing. So you just say, I've seen this happen. Is this true? What's going on? Because there's a story there.
Yes.
You know, that she may just like stealing. Who knows? I don't know. Maybe there's a real concern or need going on, and she feels like she needs to do this for some other purpose. But find out. And if you know, go to her in love and say, I know what's going on. I've seen you do this. So let's talk about it and just leave the results of that in God's hands. So.
Yeah. Here's a question from Brad, who writes to us from Bristol, Tennessee. He says, unfortunately, I'm always working and can never call during the broadcast. My hope is that you can answer this question for me on a broadcast. He says, I'll be getting married on Sunday. I did not divorce for what I would say are biblical principles. I grew up in a church that was not familiar with grace. I have begged God 1,000 times to forgive me so I can move on. I know it took just once for him to forgive me. How can I settle this guilt in my heart so that the marriage that I'm about to enter into will flourish?
Really good question, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. So we have to come to the point that in Christ we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins.
Yes.
And if somebody is coming to a new marriage, a new situation, you know, oftentimes they bring some guilt over the past. And you have to come to the point and say, if God has reconciled me unto himself, if God is not counting those sins against me, if God is choosing to remember those sins no more, then I'm going to leave them in the past. I'm just going to leave them there and move forward, resting in Christ's finished work on the cross and trusting him with the future. I mean, that's all you can do with that situation. I know in my book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, I wrote a chapter basically on how do we forgive ourselves. Well, there's nothing really in the Word of God that speaks to that about forgiving ourselves. But what the Word of God does speak to is walking in the forgiveness that is ours in Christ. God has done the work in Jesus. We just need to rest in that. And as we rest in that, I think we can be free to look forward to what God is going to do in new situations that come our way.
Yeah, absolutely. Brad, hope you're listening, and I hope that's a help to you. Remember, friends, every Friday we're addressing hard passages. If you have one and you've not heard us address it, we encourage you to drop us a note at bob@basicgospel.net. We'd love to hear from you and address your hard passage on a Friday edition of Basic Gospel. Remember, this month we've been talking about our new DVD teaching series called Your Living Hope. And, of course, folks, as you make your gift to Basic Gospel this month, we have a copy for you. It's all about standing firm against the world's pressures to conform to its ways. Click donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742 and we'll send you a copy of this empowering DVD series, Your Living Hope, from Basic Gospel. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net or donate by phone at 844-322-2742. Well, thanks for being with us for this edition of Basic Gospel, everybody. Remember, we're on the air every day, 3 o'clock Central Time. We'd love to hear from you if you have the opportunity to call and be a part of it. So for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, the ministry team, Bob Davis, saying God bless you. We'll be back tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel, and I hope you will join us. Bye-bye.